Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. The date was December 25th, 1914. It was the first Christmas of World War I. The British Army and the German Army had fought themselves to a standstill in northern France. Thousands of soldiers on both sides stood in muddy trenches, glaring at each other across a narrow strip of land that divided them. For the first time in weeks, the artillery guns had been silent the night before. And in the eerie silence of the gray dawn, everyone was wondering what the coming day would bring. And when daylight finally came, the British soldiers saw three men rise up out of the German trenches. Slowly and cautiously, they inched forward. Their hands were outstretched to show that they had no weapons. They moved past the barbed wire and stood unprotected in no man's land. And then suddenly, hundreds of soldiers began pouring out of both trenches and rushed out to meet their enemies. Their hands were clasped in friendly greetings. In broken English and in broken German, they wished one another a Merry Christmas. Now picture this. Only yesterday, these men were trying to kill each other. But today, they exchanged gifts of cigarettes and candy and anything else that they could find. The British boys sang Joy to the World and O Little Town of Bethlehem. And the German boys sang Stille Nacht and O Tannenbaum. And they sat in small groups and shared their canned rations. They showed pictures of their families to each other and carried on conversations with few words and many gestures. Somebody even started a soccer game. Not a single shot was fired that entire day. Then, as the sun began to set, they went back to their trenches and once again started trying to kill one another. Now, my question this evening is, what brought about that strange episode in the midst of war? Why did two armies lay aside their weapons for one day and treat each other like friends? Well, one thing is absolutely certain. No one planned it. No one arranged it. It was spontaneous. That brief armistice just happened. It was a spontaneous reaction to Christmas. So clearly, this day has a power in it that mere logic cannot explain. Christmas is not a human invention. I mean, no group of people got together and said, hey, I have a good idea. Let's start a holiday once a year where people will try to be nicer to each other. Now, to be sure, we have invented many of the trappings of Christmas. I mean, even the date of December 25th was chosen by the early church to coincide with a pagan holiday that had to do with the sun, the shortest day of the year. But the event that inspired that day was a gift. It was the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. A baby was born, and that baby became a man like no other person who has ever lived. His teachings have reverberated down through the centuries to us to this very night. And in the New Testament, we find his followers overwhelmed by the wonder of Christ himself. They couldn't tell the full story of this marvelous event that had happened right before their very eyes. Now, one of them explained it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Now that is St. John's version of the Christmas story. It means that God took everything that he wanted to say in the world and he poured it into a human life. Now, I think that we can understand God doing that because that is the most effective way to say anything. When a message is put into a life that is more understandable and more convincing than mere words. Now, none of us, I think, would belittle the importance of words. I mean, they are a powerful means of communication. But, you know, sometimes we're not sure exactly what those words mean. Take, for example, the word love. What does that mean? When a young man and a young woman say to each other, "I love you," what do they mean by that? Well, you know, it could mean all kinds of things. It could mean, "I want to use you for my own pleasure." It could mean, "I want to control you." Or it could mean, "I want your money." You see, it's hard to say what love means until it is acted out in a human life. You know, I read a story a while back. It was about a young man and a young woman who had said to each other, "I love you." And then they had gotten married. And there's nothing unusual about that at all. I mean, that happens all of the time. But the one thing that made this story a news story was what happened right after the wedding. The young woman gave the young man a most unusual wedding present. You see, his life was in peril. Both of his kidneys had failed. And he was able to stay alive only by the use of a dialysis machine. So the doctors transplanted a kidney from her body to his. She gave him a new lease on life. So now we know what she meant by saying, "I love you." It was not taking, it was giving. It was not using, it was serving. We can say that with a reasonable degree of certainty because her word became flesh. It was acted out in a human life. And that is the essential meaning of St. John's Christmas story. God wanted to express his love in the most understandable and the most convincing way possible. So he wrapped it in human flesh and he gave it to the world. So you see, now it's easier to hear God's message of love and to understand its meaning. He has poured into a life that love. St. Paul put it this way. "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these latter days, he has spoken to us by a son." And that is the greatest gift of all. But, you know, this gift must be actively received. We have an option of either accepting it or rejecting it. And that is true of all the best gifts. They cannot be dropped into our lives like pennies into a beggar's cup. We must open our hands and our hearts and receive them. You know, friendship is like that. We might be surrounded by people who are willing, even eager, to be our friends. But that can never be until we receive them. You know, we could live and die without a single friend unless we open ourselves to that offer of friendship. Now, my friends, most of the things that we're going to get for this Christmas could be received, I guess, in a fairly casual sense. I mean, all we have to do is pick them up or hang them up somewhere, or hang them in the closet, or maybe even go to the bank and deposit it. And we can do all of that with our hands. But the greatest gift of all must be accepted with the heart. We must take him into our lives and make him the central theme of our living. St. John tells us he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. So what do you choose?
resist him or reject him. You must choose one or the other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.